morning, everyone. Today, hopefully, we'll finish the 10th perek of Chulin, and we'll begin the 11th perek. Now, usually when I predict what we're going to finish, I'm usually wrong, but we do we do have 15 more lines to go of the 10th perek. So, please, God, let's finish that, and let's move to the new limud, new perek. Ezu Azrawa. Okay, so really, super straightforward questions the mission is going to deal with. We've been discussing now for 4 days, 5 days, the mitzvah of matanos, of giving gifts to the Kohen. Again, matanos in the context of our mesechta, whenever we say the word matanos, we're talking about zorah lechai v'keva, the three portions of every animal that one shechta you give to a Kohen. I mentioned already a number of times that we don't seem to do it nowadays. And in terms of justification of why that is, right. So first of all, I don't know if we need a lot of super justification. How many people in this room have an animal? I mean, an animal they're going to eat. I'm saying. So in other words, just practically speaking, no dogs, no cats. The bulk of us do not really have the opportunity to do this mitzvah. The bulk of us just simply don't have animals. But that's not an excuse. No, that's just simply the facts. But even those who do have animals don't seem to do this, right? I'm sure any Kohen, we don't have Kohanim here in this room right now, but any Kohen has not get received in the mail Zorah Lechai V'keva. It could be a couple of things. Number one, I'm throwing things out there. Maybe some of it will stick. Number one, remember, this is there's no Kedusha in the Zorah Lechai V'keva. It's not like Truma. It's not like... it is just simply, and the remaining part of the animal is not tevel, right? There's no prohibition to eat the other parts of the animal if you did not separate Zorah Lechai V'keva. This is strictly a monetary issue, where the Torah says that you have to give parts of the animal to a Kohen, but no Kedusha and no issue of tevel. So in other words, it's strictly a monetary issue, and we go back to a rule which the Mishnah taught us, as Aaron pointed out, comes up in the Mishnah, Motzei Mechaveiro Lavaraya. Which means that the Kohen comes over and says, I know for a fact that I'm a Kohen, and I know for a fact that you owe me that. Now again, you have the power to determine. But generally speaking, we're always cautious about, even those who are Kohanim, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Meaning, we generally assume they are. They get the first Aliyah, they get, you know, they duchen. But, you know, generally speaking though, that could be part of the question. That could be part of the question. There's a story told about the Vilna Gaon. You know, he kept giving pigeon a ben, meaning he met a Kohen. After Kohen, he kept giving pigeon a ben because he wasn't sure the previous Kohen that he gave it to was in fact a Kohen, and he wasn't sure if it fulfilled the mitzvah of pigeon a ben. So the story goes that he gave one after another. Now, I'm just reporting the story. I'm relaying the story as to its authenticity. I don't know, but the story finishes off. I don't know if anyone here knows the Rappaport family, but I grew up with one in Jersey. But he eventually came to a family, to a Kohen by the name of Rappaport, last name, and he felt, okay, that's it. In other words, for whatever reasons, I don't have any details to the story, he felt that that was a Kohen Miuchas, he felt that that had a Kohen had lineage, and he gave him the pigeon aben, and that's it. He stopped giving. Okay, that's the way the story is recorded. the shach was a Rappaport. The Sifsei Kohen, one of the famous commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, anyway, that's just a little story time to start off the day. So now the mission over here just deals with Ezu Hu Azroa. So what is this Zroa? Minaperek Shel Harakuva Ad Kaf Shel Yad. So from the knee joint until the hoof. Now you remember, by an animal, there are two knee joints. Okay, because the animal is made up, unlike us, we have two major bones in our legs. The animal has three major bones in their legs. And so, min harakuva, so which harakuva are we talking about? The second one, the third one down? I'm sorry, there's no third one. First or second joint, which one are we going down? I'm not sure. Behu shel nazir. And it's the same thing by the nazir, chenegda beregel ashok. And if you use the same measurement by the hind leg, so that which you would give for regel hashok, meaning that when you are bringing your shlamim for the nazir, so you use that same leg, not as matanos obviously, but for the zorah b'sheila, which is the cooked leg which you're going to be giving to the kohen. If you go to the back of the animal by regular carbon shlamim, that's the part that you give to the kohen, as in chaz v'shok. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shok min aperek shel arkuva ad sovach shel regel. He does not go all the way down. He goes simply to the sovach shel regel. That is between the two. That's basically the middle bone. Ezehu lechi. Okay. What about the lechi? Where's the lechi? Says the Mishnah. Min aperik shel lechi ad pika shel gargaris. From the lower jaw until pika shel gargaris, until the opening of the esophagus. Okay. I'm sorry. No. Not the esophagus. I'm sorry. The trachea. Ad pika shel gargaris.
That includes the tongue.
Yes. Yeah, they get tongue. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan Hazro Zezro Yamin. First of all, which leg? In other words, we know it's one of the two, so which one? Everyone here knows the answer. The right is the dominant. No offense to the lefties. Zezro Yamin, Atom is Zezro Yamin, Oino El Zezro Small, Tamalomer Hazroa. My Tamuda, how does this drasha work? Kedama Rava, Ha Yerech HaMiyumenis, Shebi Yerech HaChanami, Hazro HaMiyuman, Shebezro. The dominant. The hay is a definitive article. It says that we are talking about the. So if you're talking about the, so you're talking about the right. Halachaim lamayasa lahavit semer shabirosh kvasim v'seir shabizakin tayashim. Now, as far as the semer is concerned, the wool on the head of the sheep, the beard of the little billy goat, those are included as well. So that's a little bonus for the kohen. Gets a little bit of the wool. Now, as far as keva is concerned, the Torah says ha keva. What's that hay coming to teach us? Even the chalev on top of the keva. Now, the Kohen's not going to eat the chalev. The chalev is not. You're not allowed to eat that chalev. Nevertheless, you could use it for fuel and other delicious things. The chalev shebetocha keva. Damar of Yeshua Kohanim now go bo an yafe v'nasnu lebalim. The Gemara quotes a statement in the name of Rav Yeshua, which is that Kohanim, Nagubah and Yafa, they were generous, meaning even though they were entitled to the entire keva, including the chalev on top of it, they gave it back to the owner. So the Gemara points out, simple diuk, taima denaga, halanaga didehu, meaning that was their prerogative, but if they wanted to keep it, by all means, they had every right to keep it. Okay. Dorshe chamuros. Gemara uses this term every now and then. It's a difficult term to understand. Chamura usually means chomer, substance, or being machmir, or being stricter. It's not what it means over here. Dorshe chamur, as Rashi says, mikraos astumos, meaning concealed portions, meaning people who know secrets. Here's what they say. Hayu omrim, hazroa keneged hayad. Vechenu omrim, vayikach romach biyado. What Gemara's going to do now is, it's pretty nifty. We give three portions of each animal to a kohen. That's the matanos. The Gemara now, the Dorshe Chamur is going to say this corresponds to Pinchas. Pinchas did something extraordinary, and based on his extraordinary act, the Kohanim were therefore zochet to receive these portions. Now, I don't think the Gemara is really here talking about cause and effect, meaning this is the mitzvah existed even before Pinchas did his action, you would assume. In other words, but the Gemara is just simply saying that there's a connection, there's some sort of relationship between the two. So Pinchas took the spear in his hand. Key word over here is yad, his hand. And which hand? Well, I was going to say, which hand do you think he took it in? Clearly it's the right. L'chaim keneged tefillah. Now, what about the l'chaim? What about the jaw? That's the tefillah, because we know that Pinchas davened. V'cheinu omer. In fact, it's a pasuk. Now, the pasuk over here is not in the Chumash, but it's in Tehillim. V'yamod Pinchas v'yipalel. Right, same word as tefillah. Idavin. And finally, the keva, kemashmo. Now, what about the stomach? So the Gemara says, you know what that is, v'cheinu omer v'esei shal kubasa. That's where he speared them. He speared them in the stomach. Okay, Rashi over there in Chumash gives a slightly different variation of where exactly he speared them. See Rashi. So the, enough said. V'tana maisi lemahacha. So the Gemara says, that's the dorshe chamuros. So the action of Pinchas, which required his hand, that's the ramach, which required his tefillah, that's the lachayayim, and the keva is where he speared the man and the woman. Tana maisi lamehacha shokayimin en liyala shokayimin hazro shok hayamin zro mukdash minayin tamalamer truma zro chula minayin tamalamer titnu. Okay, the Gemara over here learns it out from a different. The Brisa learns it out from a different source. Okay, good. The Mishnah tells us, the last point is, what exactly is the jaw And the Mishnah says the jaw is from the lower jaw all the way to the back, to the entrance of the trachea. Tanya notla uves shchita ima. So the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says he's entitled to take it all the way to the base of shchita. Now, the entrance into the trachea is kind of up here. I know I'm pointing to my jaw, and by no means am I an animal, although you know but the base of shchita, according to the brisa, that's lower. You know, the base of shchita is in the middle of the neck. So there is a discrepancy between the Mishnah in terms of what the lower parameter is and the Braisa. Okay, fine. Ubeis HaShchita Imam. So, and that's lower than the entrance, the Pika as mentioned in our Mishnah. So, Lokasha HaRabbanan HaRabbi Chanan Ben Atignas. Titanya Mugremis Psula Heid Ben Rabbi Chanan Ben Atignas Amugremishik Shera. So the Gemara says, you know what? Could be that the Mishnah and the Braisa are having a machlokas that we saw a long time ago. And I do mean a long time ago, the very beginning of the Masechta, Daf Yud Ches, we had a debate in the first parak of Chulin, what exactly is the upper parameter of Shechita? So according to the Chachamim, you cannot go to what we call the Tabas HaGadola, right? That big cartilage ring that sits on the top of the trachea. You cannot hit it. You have to be Beina Tabos. You have to be in one of the lower cartilage rings. Good, right? In between them, we discussed that in detail back then. That's assuming I remember anything. Fine, that's a Chachamim's position. And then there's the position of Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, who says, no, that you can even go higher. Meaning, Hagrama, one of the five Psulei Shechita, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas says that if you hit the Tabas HaGadola, that's not Hagrama, which means that you're within your legal parameters of Shechita. So the Mishnah that says that you go Ad Pika till the entrance, so it could be that that's the same thing as the Braisa, even though the Braisa describes it as a base of Shechita. We normally assume the base of Shechita is lower, but if we say that this Braisa is going like Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, so then we bring it up a little bit higher, and that is a resolution between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ibayis Ema, I'm sorry, Detain Megremis Psula, hey Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas, Al Megremis Shekshera, Ibayis Ema, Hava Harabanan, Umay Ema, Ema de Behema. And the Gemara says, or you could just simply reinterpret the Braisa. The Braisa says, I'll read the Braisa again, Notlos Beit Uves HaShchita Ima. Now the Ima is a little bit ambiguous. What's that talking about? So we assume that was talking about the part that goes to the Kohen, as the Matana, as the L'chayayim. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the Braisa is referring to, that's the part that goes with the animal, meaning that doesn't go to the Kohen. Okay? That's possibly the Pshat and the Braisa, if in fact that's the case. So then there is no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, Hajan al-Chazorov al-Chayayim. That is the end of the 10th parak of Chulin. And we move ahead.
I just looked up Dorsh HaKamuras. I think it's Korach that's writing this. He says that those who interpret difficult psukim and Rav Sadia Agon says those who explain consequences of actions.
From Chomer. Yeah.
By the way, the Sefer Chaim brings down the reason for this mitzvah is Pinchas.
Right?
Not like it's a sort of darshan.
Right. It's cause and effect. And what about Pinchas was after Matan Torah? Okay.
Yeah, no, because God does that.
I understand. He knows what's going to happen. I understand. Okay.
Like the Tillim that Yaakov said are in our Sefer Tillim.
Right. Okay, I'm with you. Reishis Hagez, right? David HaMelech and Tehillim writes about the Churban, even though the Beis HaMikdash wasn't even built. Okay, fine. Right. Reishis Hagez, Noach Baritz of V'chutz Haaretz. Okay. Reishis Hagez. Okay. The Chinuch over here basically says like this. We just quoted the Chinuch. Let's quote the Chinuch one more time. And the Rambam says it as well, although you have to assume the Chinuch usually piggybacks off the Rambam. The Rambam says that the Chinuch is going to say it as well. Look, by the Kohen, we take care of him. Meaning, what do we do with our Kohen? We give him produce. We give him meat, right? Produce in the form of truma. Meat in the form of matanos. We give him wine, right? Because from truma, truma is off of grapes as well. So we give him wine. We give him oil. Meaning, it's our job to take care of the Kohen. That's, you know, the Kohen takes care of us. So we take care of the Kohen. We have that kind of symbiotic relationship. So we take care of the Kohen. So what's left? We got to give him clothing. Oh, okay, fine. So we have to give him clothing. So there's a mitzvah that when you have your sheep and your flock, and you're shearing your sheep, so make sure to give a little bit of it to the Kohen. Good. It's really that simple. So now he has food, he has drink, and now he has clothing.
Okay. Is it every time or all the first time?
Wait. Just wait. We're gonna talk. That's the parak. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. Rashi says, "No agbarutz of chutzlaritz." First of all, it is not an agricultural halacha, so it's universal. It applies in Israel. It applies outside of Israel. Bifnei abayis or shlo bifnei abayis.
And we don't do it now.
Wait. You jumped ahead. Bifnei abayis or shlo bifnei abayis. When the temple's around, and even when the temple's not around. B'chulin avalom b'mukdashin. Now it applies to chulin. It does not apply to hekdesh. The Gemara later on will spend a lot of time trying to figure out. Well, of course, it doesn't apply to hekdesh. It can't apply to hekdesh. Hekdesh. What does that mean? It means that you have a carbon over here, and you would think that you could shear the animal of a carbon. Okay, stay tuned. Gemara is gonna be on that. Chomer b'zrov l'chaim uvekeva mireshes hagez. There is chumras by zrov l'chaim uvekeva. The matanos over reshes hagez. Zrov l'chaim uvekeva no hagim b'bakar v'tzon b'meruba v'muat. When it comes to the matanos, that's the previous parak, the 10th parak. So first of all, it applies to all animals. Buck of its own, large animals, small animals, doesn't matter. And it applies whether you have a lot of animals or you have few animals. Meaning, if I shecht one animal, I got to give them a matanos. If I shecht 10 animals, I have to give them a matanos from each one. Meaning there's not going to be any discrepancy in terms of the quantity of animals that I shecht. However, reshes hagez, and okay. None of that's true by the reshes hagez. Meaning, for in terms of all types of animals, berichelos. Reshes hagez only applies to sheep. Now that just simply may be a functional thing. Because your cow doesn't give you wool. And your goat doesn't give you wool. It gives you a little bit of hair, but it doesn't give you wool. So, but the Torah only mentions it in the context of Rechelim. The Torah says, Gez sonecha. Right? The shearings of your sheep. Right? And the Gemara is going to point out that even though goats do have a little bit of hair, but not the type that the Torah instructs us to give to the Kohen. The ain't noig ella bimaruba. And another thing, reshes hagez does not apply if you only have one sheep. You need many sheep in order for the mitzvah to kick in. Now the kama hu maruba. So the Mishnah brings us to the next point, which is, so how many? I know it's more than one. How many more than one? And we know it's more than one. The Torah, when it describes it, says get to Pesukim in just a moment. Okay, we'll get to Pesukim. So v'kamu meruba Beit Shammai omrim shtei rechelo shenemar. Beit Shammai says that you need two sheep. Shenemar yichya ish aglas bakar ushtei son. Okay, so he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and Yeshayahu says that when you have more than one, and the Torah refers to multiple, it's shteit son, it's two sheep. Ubeisela omrim chamesh. Now Beisela says that you need five sheep. Shenemer chamesh son asuyos. So funny source, because this is where Avigail prepares food for David HaMelech. And part of what she prepares is chamesh son asuyos. She prepared five animals. Why that should be the source in terms of quantifying how much is multiple sheep? Interesting. Rabbi Dosa ben Horkan and Samar Chamesh Rechelos Gozezos, Mana Upras. Chamesh Rechelos Gozezos, not only do you need a certain quantity of animals, but you also need a certain weight requirement. Mana Upras, 1.5 per sheep. So it's 1.5 per sheep times 5, so that's 7.5 mana of sheep. Now I have in my notes, I don't know if I'm right about this, approximately 60 grams. Okay, I may be right, may not be right. That's what I, from a previous lifetime, that's what I have in my notes. Chayavim bereishis hagez v'chachamim omrim chamesh rechelos gozezos kol shehin. Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus, and he says that there is no weight requirement in terms of how much the wool actually has to weigh. The kama nosnin lo. So far we've described how many sheep you need in order for the chiyuv to kick in. But you don't have to give wool from all the sheep. You don't have to give all the wool of the sheep, I should say. Only a portion of it. How much? Kamenos nelo, mishkal chamesh salayim b'Yehuda, shein eser salayim b'Galil. The weight of five sela in Yehuda, their weights were measured by their coins, because the coins were pure. Not like our coins, which are just simple alloys, but their coins actually weighed what they the metal that was in them, silver or gold, whatever that may be. So the weight of five selaim in the Yehuda, which is 10 selaim in Galil, right, currency exchange between Yehuda and Galil. So that is how much you need to give. Maluban velo tzavoy, kedei la'asos mimenu beged katan. Now, it has to be white. It cannot be colored. Okay? We'll talk more about that later on, about the coloring of the coloring of the wall. Kedil asos mimena beged katan, and the reason why five salayim is because that makes a small garment, and that's how much you should give the kohen. Fits in nicely with the Rambam says. The Rambam says the whole point of rachis hagez is so they get clothes. So the shear, the amount you give him, is enough to produce a small garment. Shenem ratitan lo shehe kedei matana. Okay. Lo hispik litno lo ad shetsivo pater. Let's say you took the wool and you dyed it. Okay, you didn't give it to the Kohen. Now you should have, but you didn't give it to the Kohen and you dyed it. So the Mishnah says you're pater, you're exempt from giving it to him. Why? Listen carefully. This is interesting. Rashi says pater dekanya b'shinoi dahavale kamazik matanis kahuna osha achlan. So Rashi says, because remember what we learned in the previous parak, if you destroy your matanis, Yisrael Chai Mekeva, either you eat it or you throw it into the ocean. So remember, it was a long discussion in the Gemara. It was the first sugi of the 10th parak. It all came to us via in the name of Rav Chista. Rav Chista says you're exempt. You don't have to reimburse. One of two reasons that we discussed earlier. Either number one, because the Torah says the word zeh, or number two, because it's mamashin lo tovin. I think we would prefer the second explanation, because if it's a pasuk, the pasuk is limited to matanos. Okay, unless you want to say that there was a limud between the two, but again, I'm not sure about that. Point is, here's the interesting part. You didn't destroy it over here. All you did is you took the dye and you colored it. What Rashi's telling us is that's tantamount to destruction. Right? We can all obviously see the difference. It's not exactly the same. But Rashi says it doesn't matter. In other words, once you dye it, once you color it, you've established now a shinui, a change in it. Your kone vishinui, you acquired it with a shinui, and that way you're off the hook, you're exempt. And just another reason why Rashi's interesting. Meaning, when we say shinoi kona, what does that normally mean? It means I steal an item of yours. And it means I make a physical change in the item. All that means is I get to keep the item. The item now belongs to me. But I got to pay back, meaning I'm still a thief. I have to pay back. Shinoi kona usually means, not usually, it always means that I keep the object, but I still have a chov, I still have an obligation. Here, it's even more interesting because when you dye the wool, so you make a shinui, you acquire it, and there's no reimbursement. Now, again, it's not so difficult on Rashi, because you go back to what we said earlier. Meaning, in general, you would have to reimburse, but over here, it's Mama Shein Lo Tovim. Who's going to be Toveya? Who's going to take you to court? That Kohen? Maybe I wasn't going to give to that Kohen. Fine. Live Navalotsivo Chayev. What if you just whiten the wall? So you're still obligated to give it because whitening the wall is not effectively a change, and so therefore it's not a shinui, and
it's improvement.
It's improvement. Yeah. Okay, you get wool from a non-Jew, so you're exempt. Because the Torah says that you're only obligated if you have the sheep, if you own the sheep. If all you did was own the wool, then you don't have to give it. It's a function of sheep, not a function of wool. What if you buy a wool from a friend? So I go to Aaron and I say, here, let me buy your wool. In other words, I'm a Jew, he's a Jew, and now we're both obligated in the mitzvah of Rishas Hagez. And I don't buy all the wool from him. The Mishnah says, if I buy a lot of wool from him, but I leave some of it over, the obligation is still by him. Interesting. Rishas Hagez is not like Truma, aside from the fact that there's no Kedusha in the wool. But by Truma, you have to take a portion off first for the Kohen, and then the rest of it is by you. When it comes to Reishis HaGez, you see over here clearly that's not the case. Meaning I can buy most of the wool from Aaron, leave some over, and we could still call that Reishis HaGez, even though that's, you know, leftover. Still, that's still entitled to the coin. And the point of the Mishnah is that I can make the argument, I didn't buy all of it from Aaron, because the part that was due to the coin, I made sure to leave by him, not by me. However, if I buy all the wool from Aaron, so now I'm obligated, because that wool had an obligation to be given to a Kohen. I purchased it all. My purchasing of it is not going to remove the obligation.
Even if I gave you a discount because I said, look, I had to give some to the Kohen, and then...
Well, if you actually did give to the Kohen, so then the rest of the...
What if I said, well, I'm only going to sell to you for $90 instead of $100 because some of it...
So, but the wool, how is that going to change anything?
Maybe I would over...
Okay, think it through. Hayulo shnei minim shechufos ulavenos. Let's say you had two different types of wool by you. One was grain, the other one was white. Machar lo shechufos avalo levanos. Or let's say was sold to you was the gray but not the white. Zechar mavalo nekevos, the male wool of a male animal, not a female. Zenos en latzmo. They are divided. Different types, and therefore each one has its own giving to the Kohen. Gemara is going to discuss that in detail. The first discussion of our Gemara is an oldie but goodie, which is that the Mishnah says that by the mitzvah of Reishis HaGez, it's not by a karbon. And the Gemara immediately jumps on the Mishnah. But Mugdash my time alone. What? What's the reason why? Because the Torah says, I'm a karzon chavala, son hektesh, because it says your sheep and not the sheep of Hektish. Hektish is a new owner. So the Gemara says, that's really it. So time to cut the stone. Ha, love ha, chav, amina kashm chayav, and reshit agez. Ha, la, b'nei gizin, and udichsiv, alosigaz, bechort stone. Ha. First and foremost, it's a simple issue, and it's such a basic issue. You can't shear the wool off a carbon. Pasuk says it straight out. Losigaz, bechort stone. Ha. When you have a bechor, which is a shlamim, basically, you're not allowed to do giza. You're not allowed to shear it. It's a carbon. So how can you shear the wool of an animal? And more to the point, why would you think that there would be an obligation if you're not allowed to shear the wool of the animal? It's funny, the Gemara doesn't go into this discussion. Maybe you can make an argument of an ase being dochalos ase, but it's not. I don't think it's relevant over here because the point is that the wool has kedusha. So the Gemara says, well, look, if we're talking about kashim isbeach, meaning an animal that was designated to be brought as a carbon, you're 100% right. I wouldn't even have thought that we should shear the wool. But what if we're talking about kashim bedekabayis, which means that the animal only has kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf? Right. So now you would have thought that you should shear the sheep of this animal and give it to the kohen. The Gemara says, even that's not... Even that we would not have thought. So we have a statement in the name of Elazar that you're not allowed to shear it and you're not allowed to work it. The Gemara says midirabanan. That's a rabbinic prohibition, but mina Torah you can shear it and you can work it.
But is that in Beit HaMikdash?
Huh?
Isn't that in Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, but no, but it's not kedusha saguf. It's just kedusha dam.
I know. I'm just saying to the rabbinic.
Okay. Yes and no. Meaning, even though we say ain shvus b'mikdash, you know, we don't say unilaterally. Sagadas chamina hol medaraisa b'negizaninu hechidigazas lei leisiv lei. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Rabbinically, it's forbidden, but if you do shear it, so now you go back to the din daraisa, which is you really should give it to the Kohen. So give it to the Kohen. The Gemara brings up the next point. The Hakadosh law, but I understand it's sanctified. What are you doing, giving something belonging to Hakadosh to a Kohen? Sakadat Chamina, Lifrok Velesev Lei. So the Gemara says, well, I would have thought, in this Havamina, I would have thought, we'll have to redeem it and give it to the Kohen. Even that, the Gemara says, I don't understand. V'habay Hamada V'aracha, if you're redeeming animals, the animals have to stand on their own. We get to Temura later on in the year. We're going to see this is a big discussion. But basically, there is a requirement of Hamad Devar Racha. It's interesting. Tosfos makes his point. We're not talking about the animal right now. We're talking about the shearings of the animal. Meaning that this requirement of Hamad of Arach is only by live animals. It's not by pens. Pens don't have to stand on their own to be redeemed. Tosus simply says, it's the second Tosus on the page. Tosus simply says that since it was part of the animal, legally we're going to treat it like the animal in that it needs to stand on its own. You cannot stand the shearings up on their own. Suggestion number one. Again, all this is just to explain why I would have thought that we would have needed to shear our carbon and give the wool to the Kohen. Suggestion number one of the Gemara, because up until this point in time, Gemara really wasn't happy with any suggestion. Maybe you sanctify the animal with exception to the wool of that animal. Limited Kedusha. Now that I have a good reason to have thought I should shear it, now I need the pasuk. So the Gemara says, once you're invoking this explanation, you don't have to limit yourself to Kachem Bedek Habayis. You could say that we're talking about Kachem Mizbeach as well. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Kachshe, the word kachush means it weakens the animal. Shearing an animal weakens the animal. Okay, I'm going to take the Gemara at its face value. Okay, I'm not the farmer. But the Gemara assumes that you're weakening. Yeah. Oh, okay, very good. It is logical. I'm giving you no anecdotal evidence to this. It's just I assume the Gemara knows what it's talking about. It weakens the animal. So the Gemara says, "Kachi betekabayis nami kachshe." I don't understand. So even if it's kachi betekabayis, you're weakening the animal, and that's not good. Why is that not good? Because you're diminishing the value of something that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, even if I sanctified the animal, not the wool. And even if you're allowing me to shear the wool, but if shearing the wool is going to affect and diminish the value of the animal, you can't do that. So the Amar Chutz Megiza Ukhisha. So the Gemara says, well, okay, it's going to be an awkward suggestion. Well, I'm sanctifying the animal except for the wool and except for its diminished value when I shear it.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant. It's just, it's amazing, and the Gemara doesn't balk at this suggestion. It is amazing that you can exclude that from your hekdesh. Meaning, I understand how you can exclude the wool, because the wool is a tangible item. But you can also exclude its diminished value? It's difficult to understand. Okay? So the Gemara says, okay, but can we say the same thing by kache mizbech as well? Then I'm sanctifying this animal as a carbon, except for the wool, and except for the diminished value. The Gemara says it's not going to work by carbon. You know it's not going to work by carbon. When you sanctify a carbon, you cannot exclude any part of the animal. Because Kedusha Saguf basically runs through the entire animal. Because we know that Rav Yossi tells us, again, this is we're going to see this a lot in Temura, that if I sanctify a leg of an animal, the Kedusha basically now runs through the animal, flows through the animal, the animal is going to have Kedusha. And the Gemara acknowledges that is subject to a debate. Even Rav Meir, who argues over there, he's only arguing because you are makdish the leg of the animal. But give me a solid piece of the animal. Meaning, let's say I'm makdish most of the animal. So then, aval hikdish davash neshama tuliya bo kadosha. The entire animal becomes kadosh. So even Rav Meir, who argues, would have totally agree that here, if I'm makdish the animal, and I say, to the exclusion of the wool is not excluded, and therefore it goes through the animal. Okay, good. Including the wool. That was suggestion number one. So again, our Mishnah says that the hekdesh, you do not have a requirement to shear and give it to the Kohen. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk, and the Gemara is struggling. Why do we need a pasuk? Just simply tell me that belongs to hekdesh. So suggestion number one is, I was makdish an animal for bedek habayis, and I excluded the wool, and I excluded its diminished value. Okay, that's suggestion number one, and we'll give that credit to Rabbi Mani Bar Patish. Next, Rava. Rava, remember, makdish giza atzma. Rava says, I'll give you a simple suggestion. How about this? How about you sanctify just the wool? Just the wool of the animal, but not the animal itself. Obviously, now we're not talking about a carbon. We're just talking about kedushas damim, the value. So sakadacham in elixas velifrog velaysevle. So now here's what you might have thought. Okay, it's just a wool. So maybe what you need to do now, shear the wool of the animal. Obviously, it has kedusha. Redeem its value so that you remove the kedusha and give that to the kohen. Amakar geston chatiten la mishe mechusa elagiza nesina. No. The Gemara says no because the two verbs in the pasuk that are followed back to back is giza followed immediately by nesina. Shear it, give it. If there's a step in the middle, so that means that there's no obligation. The obligation is only when it's a two step of giza and nesina. It's basically part of the animal, but you can do that. In other words, you can, look, when you're makdish, it's the same thing as selling. If I have an animal and I say to you, look, I want to keep the animal, but I'll sell you the wool, even though it's on the animal, I could do that. You could do that. And so by hekdish, same story. If I want to retain the animal but just be makdish the wool, I could do that. And now the Gemara says, and that's what I would have thought. I would have thought that we should shear it, redeem it, give it to the kohen. That's what we learned. Ela soncha lamai asa, good. But if you notice carefully, Rava didn't learn that from the tzoncha. Rava learned that from the giza nesina, the back-to-back verb. So what does he do with tzoncha? Licha detanya behemas hashutfim chayav bereishis hagez. So now we move on to the next part of today's daf, which is now a long discussion, and I do mean long, about partnerships. Now I know this topic has come up a number of times before. This is really, this next blot of Gemara, starting right now, is going to really be one of the prime locations in Shas that discusses partnerships and what does partnerships do in terms of creating an obligation or creating an exemption. Behemas hashutfim, let's say you have an animal owned by a partnership. Okay, and partnership over here just simply means two. You don't need to get fancy. Two people own an animal. Chayav bereishis hagez. The Tanakhama says you're obligated, and Rav Elai poter. And Rav Elai says, no, it's exempt. Even if both owners are Jewish. My time in the Rav Elai, I'm a soncha v'lo shal shutfas, because the Torah says soncha in the singular. Only when there's a sole proprietor to the animal, then and only then there's an obligation of reishis hagez. But if there is more than one owner of the animal, if it's a partnership, you're exempt. The Rabbanan, now, good, right? Check for Rav Elai. What's the Chachamim going to do with that pasuk? V'Rabbanan l'mutei shutfas avi kochavim. So he says, yeah, there's an exclusion in that pasuk, but that exclusion is when the partnership is Jew and non-Jew. Then there's going to be an exemption. Rav Elai shutfas avi kochavim menale nafkale mireisha dekra. Now, as far as Rav Elai is concerned, he agrees with the conclusion in terms of the source. So he goes to the earlier part of the pasuk where it says in Parshas Korach. Sorry, not Korach. Where is this? This is in Shoftim. So Mireishis Dekra, Reishis Degancha, Velo Shutfas Avi Kochavim. It says the Reishis Degancha, your first of your grain. And it says Degancha, your grain, and not when you're in partnership with an anjo. The Rabbanan Reishis Hifzikayin. So the Chachamim say, yeah, but you have the next Reishis, the one that introduces the mitzvah of Reishis, I guess, and that's Mafsik, that separates. Rav Elai vav hada arve. Rav Elai says, yeah, but there's a vav over there, and the vav brings it all back together again. The vav is a connector. Top of the next amud. Kuf lamed hamed beis. Rabbanan lo nichtav rechman lo vav lo reishis. And the chachamim say, look, you want connection? Take out the word reishis. Take out the vav. Meaning, just have the pasuk seam the two together, without having to make a built-in separator and then having to make a connector on top of that. Rabbi Elai, I did the high kedushas damim, high kedushas aguf, pasuk lei, v'hada arve lei. And Rabbi Elai says no, because truma has kedushas aguf. That has sanctity. Truma has sanctity. The shearings of an animal does not have sanctity. So what the Torah wants to do is divide the two, but at the same time connect them. Divide them to tell us that Truma has Kedushas Aguf, and the shearing has Kedushas Damim. It's only a monetary issue. At the same time, the Vav tells us that what's true for one is true for the other. A partnership between Jew and non-Jew is an exemption. A partnership between Jew and Jew is also an exemption. Again, that's according to Rabbi Eli. We learned on the following brisa. Rabbi says that if you have a land that's owned by Jew and non-Jew, so it's teva v'chulin that are mixed together. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Amar Shal Yisrael Chai V'Shal V'Kochav Pater. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, the produce that's owned by the Jew is obligated, and the produce owned by a non-Jew is not obligated. And Ad Kan Lo Pligel Amar Sav Yesh Brera Amar Sav Ein Brera. And the issue over here is whether we can look at the produce retroactively and say that whatever part went to the Jew actually was the Jews from the beginning, and the part that went to the non-Jew was the non-Jews from the beginning, that's Yesh Brera. Or Rebbe's of the opinion Ein Brera, that there is no retroactive selection. But I'll tell you what everyone agrees to. Everybody agrees to the idea that if you have land owned by Jew and non-Jew, it is fundamentally obligated in the mitzvah of Truma. So the Gemara says, or what you could suggest is, that according to Rav Eli, everything is derived from the word soncha. Look, and the basis for Rabbi Eli is very simple. Meaning, you need a sole proprietor. And the Chachamim will tell you, no, I disagree. Because if the partnership is Jew and non-Jew, I agree that there's an exemption, but that's because one of the partners is not obligated in the mitzvah of Reish HaSages. But if the two owners are Jews, so then each one of them is obligated, so the partnership is not going to exempt. Okay. So again, let's just quickly recap our first point of the Shudfus discussion. Okay, by an animal, if there is a partnership of an animal, so Rav Eli says any partnership that's created, regardless of who the partners are, whether it's Jew, non-Jew, or whether it's Jew, regardless, Rav Eli says that creates an exemption. The Torah said, soncha, there has to be a sole proprietor over the sheep in order to create an obligation of Reish HaSages. Otherwise, you're exempt. Okay? And he learns that from the word soncha. And the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say it depends. If the partnership is Jew and non-Jew, agreed. That creates an exemption. If the partnership is Jew and Jew, there is going to be an obligation. Amar Rava. And here we go. We are going to now point to 10 different areas in halacha where we're going to look at what a partnership does to it. Meaning, will it create a liability? Will it create an exemption? And Amar Rava Moda Rav Eli. Now we're going to focus on Rav Eli because Rav Eli, remember, he's the one that unilaterally says that if you have a partnership, doesn't matter who the partners are, it could be two Jews. If you have a partnership, it creates an exemption by Reish HaSages, by the shearing. So, Mo de Rav Eli b'truma, afa gav diksiv digancha, didcha in de shufel zo, kasav rechmana trumas chem. So, number one, 10 areas of halacha. Truma, Rav Eli is going to agree that if both partners are Jews, they're still going to be obligated. Why? Because the Torah says, truma seichem. Your truma, meaning you're in the plural. Ela digancha lamali lemutu shufel zo v'kochavim. The Torah does say the word digancha, that's to exclude partnership of Jew and non-Jew. Okay, that's one. Two, the mitzvah of chala. Avagav dechsiv reishis v'ika lameima nail of reishis mereishis agez. I might have thought to make a gzera shava. Malahalan deshut v'slo avkan shut v'slo. Kasar rechmana ariso seichem. We have by the mitzvah of chala, your dough. Again, you don't hear this in English, because in English there's no difference between singular versus plural. But ariso seichem, your, meaning in the plural, your does.
Your old
does. Right. The time of dichtiv are risos seichem. Halav hachav imina nailav reishas reishas mereishas hagez. The Gemara says, I would have thought to have made a gzera shava from reishas hagez. Adaraba, nailav mitruma. The Gemara says, wait a second, that you can't do that anymore. Because now we know that truma, which is also a reishas, truma, there is an obligation when there's a partnership. So you can't simply say, I would have thought to make a gzera shava from reishas hagez. Ella, ariso sechem lamali, kidei ariso sechem, coming to teach us how much dough you need in order to separate, chala. Peya, afagav dechsiv sadcha, didcha in shutfas lokas, rechmano v'kutzuchem es kitzir artzuchem. The mitzvah peya, separating a corner of your field and giving out to the poor, dedicating that to the poor, that's even if the land is owned in a partnership. Ela sadcha lamalin limutu shutfas v'kuchavim. Again, the sadcha, in the singular, your land, which means that the sole proprietor, yes, not if it's a partnership, that's partnership between Jew and non-Jew. Number four. We're going to do all 10 right now. Number four. Bechor. Afagav dechsev kol ha-bechor she'yivale bevekarcha uvitzonecha. Those are singular. Sounds like animals only if the sole proprietor. Then and only then there's an obligation of bechor. Didcha in deshut v'slo kasarechman v'chor is bekarchem uvitzonechem. We have a plural pasuk. Ela bekarcha v'tzonecha lamalim lamut deshut v'slo v'kochavim. If there's a partnership between Jew and non-Jew, so then there's an exemption from the mitzvah of Bechor.
We use all these sort of additional words to teach us this partnership.
Right, by every one of them.
So
the answer, I guess, is he just wants to know why, in other words, why don't we have just a binyan up? Meaning, why don't we just simply create a precedent and that be it? Because we're going to do this for all 10 of the halachas. Mezuzah, afagav dechsev beisecha. Didcha in shutfas lo. What if you own a house in partnership? Now I wonder, is my mortgage considered a partnership? I don't think so. But right, it's true. Are we considered partners? So she her name is on the house. So anyway, so shutfas lo kasa rechmana laman yerbu yimechem v'yimevenechem. So that we have a plural pasuk, which means that even if a property is owned in partnership, it's still obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah. Ela beis kala may asal lechederava da marava derech biascha mina yamin. The beischa tells us derech biascha, the way you enter right side as you enter into the house. So basic halacha that the mezuzah needs to be on the right side as you enter in. Meiser, we're up to number six. So Ella Meiser Degancha Lamai Aso. So then why does it say Meiser Degancha in the singular? Lamuti Shutfas Tove Kochavim, excluding a partnership of a non-Jew. Matanos Avagav Dechsiv Rachmanim Nasan Ika Lameima Yalav Nesina Nesina Mereshus Agez. Might have thought to make a Gzeirah Shava from Mereshus Agez. Malahalim Deshutfas Lo Afkan Deshutfas Lo Kasar Rachmanah Meis Zovchei Hazevach. Singular. I'm sorry. Plural. Zovchei. So zovchei hazevach. Halav hachi avamin and leil of mereshes hagez. Adar abanil of mitruma. Again, the Gemara says, you know, truma is obligated even if it's not a sole propriety. So in achanami mei zovchei hazevach. Lamalil chederava damerava hadin imatevach. That when the Kohen takes somebody to court, who does he deal with in terms of this obligation? He deals with the butcher. As we discussed in the previous parak. Bikurim, number 8. Avagav dechsev, artzecha, didcha in deshut v'slo. The Torah says that bikurim are given off your land, singular, artzecha, kasav rechmana, bikurei, kol asher ba'artzecha, bikurei, kol asher ba'artzam, right, correction of pasuk, done on the side of the Gemara. Your land's in the plural. El artzecha, lama lelemuti chutz ha'aretz. It has to be your land, not outside the land of Israel. Again, interesting havamina. Without that pasuk, you would have thought that Bikurim would be obligated outside of Israel. It's a mitzvah tuluya ba'aretz. Take a look at the second Tosfos on the page. He raises this very issue. It's so funny. We had this idea earlier back in the 8th parak, right? Tosfos says, I would have thought that we can connect Bikurim to Basar B'Chalav. Right, the mitzvah tuli baaretz mikama kom itzrich lemuti mishum de itkish labasar bechalav bechad kra. Right, bikurei. I know the pasuk. I'm just bikurei. Huh? There we go. I forgot the word rachis. Okay, so in other words, in the same pasuk, you have bikur menya basa b'chalav. Now, we know basa b'chalav is a universal halacha, applies outside of Israel as well. So I would have thought that that the same thing is true by bikurim as well, again, as a hava mina, just as a hava mina. Tzitzis. Yeah, so if you remember, we inverted this idea earlier, right? We explained why we might have thought, as a hava mina, why basa b'chalav only applies in Israel. And if you remember, in the beginning of the 8th parak, I discussed, that's why, not our Mishnah, but at least the Tosefta explained that there's a need to tell us that the mitzvah basa b'chalav is b'chutz la'aretz, ba'aretz u'v'chutz la'aretz. Because I might have thought otherwise. Tzitzis, two more to go. Afagab de kasu rechmana kisus cha did cha in de shifu so kasu rechmana al kanfei vigdeyhem l'darasam. Okay, even if you own a garment in partnership. If you borrow a garment, you're not obligated to put tzitzis on the borrowed garment, at least for the first 30 days. After 30 days, yes, but that's the Maris Ayin issue, because it looks like it's yours. Maken, Rabbi Natan says that you see that Stam She'ela is 30 days. And Tosfos disagree with Rabbi Natan. Maken, afagav de kasav rechmana legai... Right? The whole point of makeh is to prevent people from falling. So what are you going to say? Oh, this house is a partnership and it's not gagcha, it's not your roof, but bottom line is you got to stop people from falling off your roof. You don't have to put a makeh on your base medrash and on your shuls. Now, there is an interesting Rashi. I guess we'll end with this Rashi today. Rashi says, Bate kinesios, she'en chelek le'echad mehem bo, sha'af livnei ever hayam hu. The first explanation of Rashi is that the shul is a public place. Everybody has ownership of a shul. A shul is not a partnership. The shul is a, what's a legal term for it?
Public domain.
Okay, I'm okay with that, even though... Okay, that is the first explanation of Rashi. You look in the Gemara in Megillah, in the fourth parak, and this idea recurs. This idea that the shul is not it's not just a partnership, but it is a public area. Number two says Rashi, Va'osha eino beis dira. It's also not a house of dwelling. And a makkah is only requiring a house of dwelling. But that first pshat in Rashi is really interesting. How to view a shul. I know others would disagree. But okay.